The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Lerfuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefanalo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem tanihenna began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with arichut yamim, health, osher ve'osher ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Daf Chavbet. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'fuah Shilema Sarah Bat Rachel. En Narefanada Betoch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chaf Alef Amud Sheni, and we start five lines from the bottom. We learned in our Mishnah three things that Rabban Gamliel was Mahmir on himself, according to the opinion of Bet Shammai. One of the things that he was mahmir on was that he would not make hatmana from Yom Tov to Shabbat, which means he would not insulate pots in order to keep their warmth. When Shabbat was followed by Yom Tov, for example, on a Friday, he would not make hatmana. So the Gemara now wants to understand the case. Gemara says, "Hechi dameh, what's the scenario? What's the case? Ida anach eruf tavshilin. If they already established an eruf tavshilin, my tama de bet shamay. What's the reason why bet shamay says you can't make atmana? The chaura in eruf tavshilin, just like it allows you to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, should allow you also to make atmana from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So what's the inyan for bet shamay to be mahmir? Vide lo anach eruf tavshilin, my tama de bet elel. If you didn't make an eruf tavshilin, so how can bet elel allow it? So memalav shachir. If you have eruv tavshilin, everybody should say it's mutar. If you don't have eruv tavshilin, everybody should say it's asur. Amar avuna le'olam emalach shelo eniyach eruv tavshilin. Really, I'll tell you the case is talking about where he didn't place an eruv tavshilin. Uchte hayav sharu le'rabbanam. And even without an eruv tavshilin, Hakamim still allowed you to do your basic necessities in order to live. Which means, even without an eruv tavshilin, you can't cook a regular meal, let's say, but to do the minimum basics, they'd allowed you. And that's what Bet Shammai is saying. No, if you didn't make an eruv tavshilin, they're not going to even allow you to make the basic necessities, even if you have to make hatmana, which is basic necessity, still it's going to be forbidden. Ravuna, the tameh. And Ravuna is going according to his reasoning. Damar Ravuna, mishelo iniyah eruvei tavshilin, ofin lo pat ahat, umbashlin lo kedera ahat, umadbikin lo etanir. Which means, according to Ravuna, if a guy didn't make a eruv tavshilin, that's it, they can make him the minimum. You make for him one piece of bread, one kedera, and you're able to light the one ner. Mishum Rabbi Yitzhak Amru, from Rabbi Yitzhak's name, they said, Avtsulin lo dag katan. They even allow you to get one small little fish. Tanya Nameachem of the bright, but the support is Mishelo and Yahrubet Tavshirin, Ofin lo pat achat. They can make from one piece of bread, Vitomim lo kedera achat. They can make katmana to keep it warm for him, one pot. Umadlikin lo etaner, and they can light for him a ner, so he can have some light. Umehamim lo kiton achat. They can heat for him also one jug of water. Vyeshomrim, Avsodin lo da katan. So that's the first answer of the Gemara. Rabbuna's answer is that the reason that we're talking about over is really you didn't put in a roof tavshirin. And Bet Shammai is holding like a Mahmir Shita that's going to tell you that without an eruv tavshirin, you can't do anything. So if you didn't make an eruv tavshirin, I can bet Tadel say you can make atmanah, because he allows you to do kedeh hayav, which means just the basic necessities, so Bet Tadel will allow you to make atmanah on one tavshil, and therefore that's the machloket. Comes the Gemara, gives a different answer. Rabamar le'olam sheniyah. Now really, I'll tell you, you put an eruv tavshirin. If you put in eruv tavshirin, what's the reason why Bet Shammai is being mahmir? The chaura eruv tavshirin is matir everything. Just like it's matir you to cook, it should be matir you to make hatmana. Veshani hatmana. Hatmana is different. Demucha milta v'da'ata d'shabeta ka'abid. Even with an eruv tavshirin, Bet Shammai says that the hatmana is going to be a problem. Why? Because it's evident the only reason why you're making this hatmana is for Shabbat. Because you don't have to make hatmana for Yom Tov. Why? On Yom Tov you could cook. On Yom Tov you could make a fire. Obviously, when you're setting up the hatmana, the insulation of the pot to keep it warm, it's evident that you're doing it for Shabbat. Whereas even if you're cooking, let's say, on Friday for Shabbat, but you're cooking, it looks like you're cooking for Yom Tov as well. So therefore, we can allow you to cook and do things like that. But a hatmana, Beit Shammai is going to tell you, since intrinsically it looks like you're doing this davka for Shabbat, because there's no other interpretation why you're doing it, so therefore, even with the Eruv Tavshilin, he's going to tell you, at this point, at least it's going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Eti be Abaye. Abaye brings a question. Hananya Omer, Hananya says, Beit Shammai Omrim, En Ofin Ela Imken Eidev Bepat. You can't bake from Yom Tov to Shabbat unless you had a baked product prepared already from before. For example, a loaf of bread. You cannot cook unless you had a cooked product prepared from before Yom Tov. You cannot insulate. Unless you started the insulating process. But the Gemara makes it duke. If you had hatmana already prepared from before Yom Tov, it'd be permissible. Even though it's evident that you're doing it for Shabbat. So you see, Beit Shammai holds, so long as you made hatmana from before Yom Tov and you started the process, you can continue to make your hatmana on Yom Tov. So what are you telling me? No, hatmana is different because it's mukhah for Shabbat. So what? Mukhah for Shabbat. Beit Shammai says, as long as you made your eruv from before, meaning if you made your baked goods, you could make. If you made your cooked goods, you could cook. If you made your hatmana goods, you could make hatmana. So we're back to the question, Rava, what are you talking about? How could you tell me that hatmana is different? We see Beit Shammai allows you to make hatmana as long as you started the process from before Yom Tov. Ela Amar Abaye, so Abaye gives the final answer. Kegon she'irev leze velo irev leze v'hananyahi v'alibat de Beit Shammai. The case is talking about where you made an eruv for this, but you didn't make an eruv for that. Which means, I made an eruv with pot that allows me to bake. I made an eruv for bishul that allows me to cook, but I didn't make an eruv for hatmana. And according to Hananya, unless you make a specific eruv for each item, it's not going to allow you to do that process. And therefore, the Mishnah is to be interpreted like this. Rabban Gamliel's Mahmid, like Beit Shammai, not to make hatmana me'yom tov to Shabbat. In which case, in the case where you made an eruv tavshilin, but what? For pat and tavshil, but you didn't make an eruv tavshilin for hatmana. And according to Hananya, if you didn't make a specific preparation for the hatmana from before, you will not be allowed to do it on Yom Tov itself. So that's the two different interpretations we have to the Mishnah. Either Rav Huna's answer. Rav Huna's answer is talking about you didn't make an eruv tavshilin. Finish. You didn't make an eruv tavshilin. That's why you cannot do hatmana. So how can Betelel say you can make hatmana? No, kedi hayav. Even Betelel allows you without the eruv tavshilin to make the minimum amount, meaning you can make a hatmana on one tavshilin just so you can survive. Second answer, no, you made an eruv tavshili, but you didn't make an eruv specifically for hatmana. We found the opinion of Hananya according to Beit Shammai that says if you didn't make a specific eruv for the hatmana, you would not be allowed to be matmin, and Rabban Gamliel is taking the chumrah of Beit Shammai. Now, the second thing that Rabban Gamliel was mahmir on in our Mishnah was a menorah. Ein zochfin et a menorah biyom tov. Seemingly, we're talking about a case where you have a menorah, and it fell apart. It's a candelabra. It collapsed on Yom Tov. So it doesn't allow you to fix it. Okay, now we're going to see exactly what this machloket is. So it comes to Gemara and says, Ve'en zokfin et a menorah. We learned in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to straighten up the menorah. Correct? My kavi. So the Gemara says, what is he doing? What's the issue in straightening up the menorah? Amar Rav Hanina bar Bisna, hacha b'menorah shel haliyot askinan. We're talking about a menorah that's made from components, which means that the menorah fell apart. Now to put it back together again, you have to, connect the different components. Now the problem is when you're putting the components back together again, it looks like you are building. The Beit Shammai savre yesh binyan bekelim. Beit Shammai says that binyan is not only by karka, by building a house, but there's also binyan by vessels, and therefore Beit Shammai is machmir and says you cannot put this menorah back together. Beit Hillel savre en binyan bekelim ve'en stira bekelim. Beit Hillel says no. Binyan is dafka said, let's say when you're building in the ground, which means when you're making a regular, you're finishing a product, you're building, you're doing some type of construction, which is one of the avot melachot. However, this is not a binyan of ohel or binyan of a bayit. This is you're just putting pieces back together again by kelim. Beit Hillel is mekel. Okay? Tosfot has a question. Tosfot says, we learned in Masechet Shabbat that what do you mean? When it comes to a minor Rav Holyot, everybody says it's Asur. Mm-hmm. And now they were saying that according to Bet Hillel, saying it's Mutas. Look at the second Tosfot. V'im tomar v'habi Shabbat b'mirash haliyot kol ha'amal opeligi de'asur v'yesh tomar de'at amari b'Shabbat v'ach amari b'yom tov v'luchminu ha'kamim mu'id v'in b'nyan b'kelim, which means on Yom Tov they were more mekel, and therefore on Yom Tov Bet Hillel is more mekel than Shabbat, and therefore they will make a hiluk. Okay, then Tosfot gives a different answer. Ina me yesh lomar de'at amari shikula shel haliyot mefarkin ota evarim evarim v'alach amari she'en haser kan rak lakima ksat v'en ha'ba'alat evarim d'chula mechuberti. Or we can say that over there in Shabbat it was mamash pieces, mamash components. There we have to mamash put them together again. In that case, even Betanel will say it's a suit. Here, it's really attached. It's just that you have to lift it up in order that the pieces will come together again. So in that case over there, in Shabbat, everybody will say it's a suit because it's components, mamash and haluyot. And therefore, even Betanel will say it's a suit. However, over here, it fell apart, but all you got to do is lift it up and the pieces will come together by themselves, so to speak. And they were really attached, so therefore Bet Hillel will be Mekia. That's the difference between here and Shabbat. Ula, a story we have, Ikla lebe Rav Yehuda. He was in the house of Rav Yehuda. Kam Shem'e, the servant of Rav Yehuda, got up. Zakaf la lesharga. He lifted up the ner. The ner is over the receptacle that has the oil in it, with the wick in it, and it was lit. What he was doing is, he was trying to extinguish the ner on Yom Tov. So what did he do? He lifted it up in a way that the oil will be drawn away from the wick, in order that the ner will go out. So when he saw this over here, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Le'ula. So he asked the question, Hanoten Shemen Bener Hayab Mishum Mav'ir. Which is on Shabbat, if you put oil into the vessel, into the receptacle, you Hayab Mishum Mav'ir, because you're adding fuel to the fire. That Mistapik Memenu Hayab Mishum Mechabe. On Shabbat as well as Yom Tov, if you take oil away, you're going to be Hayab Mishum Mechabeh, because you're extinguishing. So therefore, he's telling him, what are you doing? How are you allowing this this guy over here, this Shamosh, he's tilting the candle, the ner, and getting the oil away. So what's going on over here? This is Mekibuy on Yom Tov. Mav'ir on Yom Tov is Mutar. But Kibuy on Yom Tov, extinguishing, is Asur. The fact, Ochel Nefesh, extinguishing a fire. What's the purpose? It's Asur. So he tells him, Amar Le, Lav Adatai. Right? So Ula tells Rav Yehuda, Lav Adatai. He says, listen, he says, that's not... Shamashul Ula. Ula tells him, Lav Adatai. So what do you want from me? It's not, he's doing it on his own. I think I told him to go do the... Yeah, he was Jewish servant. They didn't know. You think I authorized him to go do this? He's doing it on his own. Okay? Like she says, Asa, Shamash, Mashasa. He did what he did. He's asking for permission, and therefore, there's no claims. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Rav. Rav said, some of the Girsar of Yehuda. Amar of Yehuda, Kanba Share. End of Sugya. What is Kanba? The way the Mefashim learn when you have a wick. Okay, so sometimes on the top of the wick, after you lit it a couple of times, it's like a coal that forms, like a little black charcoal on top of the wick. So sometimes when you want to light the wick, to light it better, you have to knock off that little coal over there in order to light it. So the Gemara says, Kanba share, to knock off that little charcoal on top of the wick is mutar on Yom Tov in order to make it light better. And she says, Limchot rosh ha-petilah she'naseh peham, to straighten that, to trim it. Right, in order to make it good, so he could light it. Ba'amine Abba Bar Martam Abaye. Okay, Abba Bar Martam asked a question to Abaye. Okay, Ma'u lechabot etaner mepene davar acher. Okay, we know that if a person wants to have tashmish amita, so really he's supposed to not have light on. He's supposed to be in the dark. So now it's Yom Tov. So there's a light over there. So the halakha, the question is being asked over. A person wants to know, Mishum davar acher on Yom Tov. Davar acher is a nice way of saying tashmish amita. Can he extinguish? We know regular kibuy is asur for no purpose, but he has a purpose. He wants to have tashmish amita. So is that permissible or not? Amar lo, efshar bebayit acher. So he told him, go to a different room. Would you have to be in the room with the light? Mm-hmm. You don't have another room. So efshar la'asotu mechisa. Well, let him put a curtain up to separate between him and the light. Okay, let's say he doesn't have a mahisana. And now what are you going to do? So say, if Shalikha, let him take a vessel and cover the nair without extinguishing it, just to cover it so it's not illuminating, and you have no problem. Let's say you don't have a keli, what are you going to do? So Amarle Asur. If you have no other options, you're not allowed to extinguish it for this purpose over there. So he says, "Eti bez." What are you talking about? Answer the question. It says, "En mechabin et habakat kedei lahus aleha." Bakat is a piece of wood. You have a piece of wood on Yom Tov; it's burning. The guy, he doesn't want it to burn. He doesn't want to lose the whole bakat. He doesn't want to lose his money over there. It's cost him money. This bakat. So what does he want to do? He wants to extinguish it. The Gemara says, "No, no." En mechabin et habakat kedei lahus aleha. If you have mercy, so to speak, on the bakat, you cannot extinguish it. However, let's say the smoke is interrupting you. All the smoke from the bakat is in the house, and it's uncomfortable. Let's say the bakat is burning the kedera. You have a pot on the fire, and over here the food is getting all burnt from this over here. So therefore it's mutar. You're allowed to extinguish. So you see what? In certain cases, for benefit, for hana'a, outside of akhila, right? I don't want the smoke to be in the house. You're allowed to extinguish it. So therefore the chaurat should be permissible to extinguish the nair for the purpose of the tashmish. Look at Rashida. She says, etibe. Actually, let's go to Rashi. Kedei lahus alav she'en kibui ze sorich yom tov. This kibui over is not the sorich yom tov, obviously, right? V'ani shamati David is soter amenat lebno od bimkomo. Rashi gives a different interpretation of that. When you're putting out the bakat, it's considered soter because you're destroying, you're dismantling over it by putting it out. Amenat lebno, and eventually to build, mean to light again in the same place. So it's either mavir, it's either mechabe, or it's either soter. Either one. In any event, you see what that even for non akhila purposes, you're allowed to do kibui. Amar le, he says, are you quoting me from this braita? Hahi Rabbi Yehudahi. You're bringing me the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Ki kamina anal Rabbanan. I'm going to quote the Rabbanan. Well, what's the Rabbi Yehuda shita? Rabbi Yehuda damal kaman makshire oche nefesh sharu. He allows not only oche nefesh on Yom Tov, but things that are preparatory to oche nefesh also permissible. V'darish yaaseh lachem nechosur chehem. He learns that when it says the Torah, you can do your needs, not only your needs for oche nefesh, any of your needs. Which you just like, the smoke in the house is also a purpose. You don't want to send the smoke, yes. The shmish is also a purpose. He says, what do you want? I'm all say like the rabbi's opinion that say no, when it says hule bado, I say only oche nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient. He allows kibui even for other pleasures. So therefore, you have no question. So again, the question was asked, can you extinguish the flame for the davar acher? He told him, Asur. What do you mean, Asur? I have a brighter that sounds like it's mutar. That's going to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has a more flexible interpretation to Oche Nefesh. He allows not only Oche Nefesh Mamash, but anything that's a Hana'a, he'll allow you to extinguish. I'm going to quote the rabbis. The rabbis are Machmir. Next question. Ba'a mine Abaye Meraba. Abaye had a question to Rabba. Ma'u lechabot et deleka b'yom tov. Okay, there's a fire. But when a guy has a fire in his house on Yom Tov, can he extinguish the fire? There's no question. Even on Shabbat, it would be permissible to extinguish. Questions over here, just going to be a loss of money. My, is it permissible? Amale asur. Asur is not etir. It's not ochin nefesh. Eti be mechabin et habakat kedei lahus alay. Again, same question. You cannot extinguish the piece of wood in order to have mercy on me to save it. V'im b'shirishlo itashen abayit. If you're doing it in order that the house does not become smoked, or a kedera to save the kedera mutar. So you see what? That even for non ochin nefesh purposes, you're allowed to do kibui. So the chavrat to save the mamon, the chavrat should be permissible. Same answer. He Rabbi Yehuda. Again, you bring me Rabbi Yehuda. Ki kamina ana Rabbanan. I'm going to coin. I want to know coin to the Rabbanan. Same question, same answer. Ba'amine Rav Asher. Me'amimor. Okay, now Rav Asher asked the question. Me'amimor. Ma'u lichol et ha'ayin b'yom tov. We know on Yom Tov, just as well in Shabbat, anything that has to do with medicinal purposes, medicine, is asur. Why? The Hakamim made a gezerah that if you're going to come to use medicine, you might come to grind, or get some amanim, and therefore it's asur as well as Shabbat, it's as well as asur on Yom Tov. So now the question was, can you make kichol on the ayin? They used to take like a mascara, a certain type of ointment, we'll call it, and they want to put it on the eye. It's an ointment for healing.
Remedy.
So they want to know, can you do it on Yom Tov? If the sakana kegon rira. Rira is like there's a certain mucus that is coming out of the eye. Ditsa is where, let's say, there's like a certain sharp pinching feeling that a person is getting in his eye, like a ditsa, like somebody taking a needle and putting in his eye. So that's called ditsa. You have that feeling. Dama, or let's say there's blood coming out of his eye. Dimata, or let's say there's tears coming out of his eye. Vikadahta, or there's a certain fever that he's getting, a burning sensation. Or the beginning of any of these diseases that are coming on, that's vada, you're permissible to handle the eye on Shabbat. Why? Of course, on Shabbat, of course, no question. My question was, sof ukhla, at the end of the ailment, which means as the ailment is starting to heal, and the only reason why you want to put the ointment is why? You just want to strengthen the eye, which means you want to see better. You can see, there's no sakana. I just want to enhance the eye. What's the deen? My. Amale asur. So he tells him again, what do you mean? Asur of Shabbat. There's no hete. It's not okhe nefesh again. There's no hete to put this kehon eye. Etive. So he asks him a question. Emibakein etabakat. Again, he tells him what? You cannot extinguish the bakat, but what? For hana'a, like the smoke in the house, you're allowed. So therefore you see what? For hana'a, for certain pleasure, you're allowed to do even kibui. So for the same reason, to have hana'a, I want it in my eye, I want to have better fish in the chawd, I should be able to do it, then we should, no problem. Which means the ochel nefesh yeter is really, according to the Biyuda, more like hana'a. Any type of hana'a that's going to benefit the person on Yom Tov, mutar. For all your needs. So the Chavra contribute that should be mutar. And they answered him like they answered, which means we were not asking according to the Biyudah. We want to know according to the Rabbanan that are Oser. Baruch Atah Adonai, Elohim Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehyeh Baruch. Comes the Gemara and says, Amemor. Shari lemechal ena megoy b'shabeta. Amemor allowed somebody to have his eye anointed on Yom Tov al yede goy. He let the goy do it. Ika de amre amemor gufa kahal ena megoy b'shabeta. Some say Amemor himself had the goy put the ointment in his eye on Shabbat. Amar de Ravashel Amemor, my datech. What's the reason why you're being mekel over here? Da'amar ula bered rav ilai kol sorche chole osin al yedei goy b'shabbat. Are you relying on that opinion that says that anything that has to do with sickness, you can rely on a goy to administer it? Ve'amara v'menuna kol davar she'em bo sakana. Even if it doesn't have sakana, omer la goy ve'oseh. Is that what you're relying on? Hani mi lehecha de lo mesaya b'hadeh. That's only talking about where you're not aiding in the process. You're not helping him. Aval mor kamisaya b'hadeh. But you're helping. Why? De ka'amitsu patah. You're closing and opening your eyes. When he puts the ointment in, you're also helping. How do you get the ointment in your eye? You have to open and close your eyes. So you're a mesaya. This is a siyua. This is asur. The rabbi only allowed the goy to do something. If he's the only one doing it, you're not involved in the process. But if you're involved in the process, it's asur. Amar le, ikar Rav Zavid dekai kevatach. Yeah, you have another rabbi that agrees with you. Rav Zavid also has your question. Veshani yele, but I answered him, mesayaya in b'mamash. This is considered mesayaya in b'mamash. I'm not helping, which means the melacha could have been done without me. You didn't need me. Like we learned in Masechet Shabbat, in the case where ze yachol veze eno yachol, which means let's say you have a case where one guy can do the melacha himself. He doesn't need another guy to help him. Ze yachol, he's capable to do it himself. You have another guy who couldn't have done it himself, he's helping him. So the Gemara says, the guy who's yachol is hayav. The guy that's eno yachol is patur. Why? He's misayah. He's misayah, yeah, he's helping. And he's misayah, mamash, we don't need you. Your help is insignificant. So the same thing over here. The closing and the opening of the eye is considered misayah, but it's en bo mamash. Look at the bottom nashi. Misayah, en bo mamash. Mi she'eno osim melaka mamash. He's not doing a mamash melaka. The ointment he's not putting on. Ela, misayah me'at ki hai. Ubelav hu mit'abeda. Well, even without his siyuah, the melaka is going to happen. אין בו ממש, ואחי אמר בסקת שבת במצניה, גבי זה יכול וזה אינו יכול. In the case of זה יכול וזה אינו יכול. One guy can do the melacha himself. Yeah, they're carrying. He carried the whole thing himself. Another guy wasn't able to carry. So the other guy, the weak guy, is helping him. So what's the deen? Yachol hayav v'she'eno yachol patur v'afalgav v'kabaseya ba'adem. You can tell me that what? How can you tell me that the eno yachos patur is misayaya? The Gemara answers, misayaya eno mamash. This misayaya, it's insignificant. The melacha would have been done without him. So therefore, that's what he was relying on. Comes the Gemara and continues, amemor. Amemor shara lemechal aina b'yom tov shini shlosh hashanah. Oh, now let's go back to the subject of Rosh Hashanah. We learned that all the days of Yom Tov, the first day is considered, let's say, the Vaday day. The second day, we said, is already Safik, right? Because the second day, we're only following it because of Minhag Avotenu Biyadenu, because of the Safik, Safik HaDiyuma, etc. However, Rosh Hashanah, we said, was different. Rosh Hashanah, even in the olden days, when there was Beit Din, there was, sometimes they had to follow 2 days, because the Edim would come late, etc., and therefore they would make both days Kodesh. So therefore, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are a little different than the regular 2 days of regular Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the Amemor was lenient on the second day of Yom Tov to allow people to put the ointment on the second day, as if he was treating the second day of Yom Tov, of Rosh Hashanah, like a sefek, it's less. So the Gemara says, Amar Leda Vashel Amemor, Ve'amar Rabba said, hold it. Met be Yom Tov Rishon, if somebody dies, let's say, on the Yom Tov Rishon of, let's say, Rosh Hashanah, Yitaseku bo Amemin. On the first day, only the Goyim are allowed to do the burial. Be Yom Tov Sheni, on the second day of Yom Tov, Yitaseku bo Yisrael. Then we're lenient. Second day of Yom Tov, we allow even a Jew to do the burial. Ba'afidu b'shnei yamim tovim shal Rosh Hashanah. Even on Rosh Hashanah, which we consider Yom Arichta, it's all considered one long day, but for burial, we lean on the second day, Ayyadei Yisrael, Mashe'en Ken B'Betza. However, when it came to a Betza, normally we say on a regular Yom Tov, Betza Nolda Beze, Mutar Beze. If it's born on the first day, we say on the second day, it's Mutar, because the second day is only Safek. However, on Rosh Hashanah, we say Nolda Beze, Asura Beze. So the Gemara comes along and says, so therefore, what do you see? The only leniency that they made for Rosh Hashanah was the Gabe Met. We didn't see a leniency for Kehol. It was allowing to put the ointment in the eye even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Well, where'd you get this heter? So he says, Amale Anak and Hardei Svirale. So don't you remember? I'm following the opinion of the Nehardea. The Amar Amre Af BeBetzai, which means even when it came to Betzai, the rabbis of Nehardea were lenient on Rosh Hashanah, because they treated also Rosh Hashanah like a regular day of Yom Tov, like regular Yom Tov. Why? What's the reason? Dilma Me'avre Le'Elul. What are you worried about? That maybe the rabbis are going to add an extra day to Elul, and therefore, if they add an extra day to Elul, then really the second day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be the main day, which was today that we followed the Hakamim. Are you worried about in Ibur? He says it never happened. Ha'amar of Hanina Barkana Mimot Izda Ve'ilach Lo Matzinu Elul Me'ubar. Which is, if you remember the Nehardea's opinion, they held it never happened where Rosh Hashanah was ever 2 days. Which is, even in the times from Izda Sofer, yet the Hakamim were concerned if the witnesses might come late and you're going to have a second day. But it never happened, which means the rabbis really never added an extra day in Elul to make Rosh Hashanah come out on the second day. So therefore, the Gezerah never kicked in. The Gezerah never started according to the Haradah. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah is a regular Yom Tov, like every other Yom Tov. And therefore, just like Betzah, just like by Met, Met by Yom Tov Sheni, Ayyadei Yisrael, Betzah, Shiroda Bezu, Muter Bezu. And therefore, Amemor says, Kehol on the second day is also permissible because he subscribes to the opinion of Nehardea'ai. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'en ofin pitin girisin ela nekikin. The third humrah that the Bangam Liel accepted upon himself, like Bet Shammai, was what? On Yom Tov, they did not bake thick bread. Why? Because it's a tahat to bake thick bread. They would only break nekikin. Nekikin is like wafers. They would bake thin bread. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Bet Shammai omrim, En ofin pat abba Pesach. Now we have a new halakha. When it comes to Pesach, Bet Shammai says you're not supposed to bake thick matzah, right? The thick matzah. Bet Hillel matirim. Bet Hillel says it's okay. The interpretation at this point we're thinking the reason why Bet Shammai is mahmir because when you make it thick, it's hard to watch from becoming hametz. Therefore, he said, no, you can't make thicker. Bet Hillel says, no, you watch it. Just make sure that you take care of it. The kama pat abba. What's the thickness when we say pat abba? Amar avuna tefacha. Maximum shiur of a tefah. That's a nice shiur. That's like 3 inches. Shekhen matzinu b'lechem panim tefah. Because we found by the lechem panim, the 12 showbread, incidentally, in the Beit HaMikdash was matzah. It wasn't bread. lechem apanim is matzah. And how thick was the lechem apanim? We learned in the Sechet Sukkah why they call lechem apanim, because it was the shiur of panim. What is the shiur of panim? Shiur of panim is a tefach. So therefore, we know lechem apanim, which was matzah, was a tefach. So that's the maximum. But then it says you can make the matzah on Pesach as well. So now, so the Gemara says that just like the lechem panim, you can make a tefach and it's considered okay. So too on Pesach, you can bake matzah betelir, the shiur of a tefach. Now the Gemara is going to say, hold it, you're bringing a raya from lechem panim from the Beit HaMikdash. There's a lot of differences over here between the Beit HaMikdash baking and a regular guy in his kitchen baking. Why? Matkif Rabbi Yosef, im amru bezirizin, yomru b'shenam zirizin. Who made the lechem panim? We learned in Masechet Shekalim, Beit Garmu, Mishpachat Beit Garmu, Masechet Yomam, Mishpachat Beit Garmu. These people were zirizin. They were very careful of it. So you're gonna tell me if Beit Garmu was allowed to make it, because they're zealous. Now you let any guy in the street start making matzah, the shiur of a tefah, that's not good. Im amru bepat amela, yomru bepat she'ena amela. Number two, the bread of the Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara says, they used to have to work it 300 times. With their hands, they worked it 300 times, they kneaded it, and they pounded it 500 times. So therefore the dough was already worked, and therefore we weren't worried about it becoming chametz. A regular pacheena amela, it's not worked. Therefore, there's a bigger chance for it to become chametz. So that's the second difference between the Beit HaMikdash and regular matzah. Im amru be'atzim yevashim, yimru be'atzim nahim. In the Beit HaMikdash, they only would use dry wood. Masechet Ta'anit, we're going to learn that it says on Tu Be'av, they used to call Tu Be'av Yom Tabar Magal. That was the day they used to break the axe. Why? Because from that day on, they stopped cutting wood for the Beit HaMikdash, for the Mizbeach. Why? Because from the Tu B'Av on, the 15th of Av, the sun already is weakened. And therefore the wood is wet. It's not going to dry the wood as well. And therefore you see the Beit HaMikdash were very makpid only to use dry wood. Dry wood makes a very strong fire. Therefore we're not worried about the Lechem HaPanim becoming chametz. But you're going to let a regular guy use his regular wood that's moist. That's not going to make such a good fire. Therefore there's a chance that it's going to become chametz. Im amru betanur ham, yomru betanur sonen. Secondly, the Beit HaMikdash's oven was always hot. Why? Because always working. They always got stuff in the oven in the Beit HaMikdash. Always baking something. And therefore, why? Every day at the menachot. The menachot were made every day was baked bread or matzah. And therefore the oven is hot in the Beit HaMikdash. When a hot oven, it doesn't become chametz so fast. Mashiach, the regular guy's oven, which is cold, it's different. Another difference. Im amru betanush matechet, yomru betanush cheres. In the Beit HaMikdash, the oven was made out of metal. Why? Because there's certain things like the lechem apanim and the shtei lechem on Shavuot, it has to be baked in an oven, but it has to be baked in kli sharit, in a holy receptacle. The holy receptacles can only be made out of metal. So the oven was considered kli sharit, so it was metal. Now a metal oven obviously is hot, and therefore that's why it doesn't become hametz. But you can let a guy in his regular earthenware oven, it's going to become hametz. So therefore, because of all these questions, he's saying, how could you tell me that Beit HaMikdash is going to allow you, a regular guy, to bake matzah on Pesach to the shiur of a tefah? And your proof is, lechem apanim. Lechem apanim has so many reasons. You have zirizim, you have pat amela, you have a tanur that's ham, you have etzim that's yavesh, you have a tanur that's matechet. For all those reasons, we make the Beit HaMikdash. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, she'elit et rabbi biyehud. I asked one of the rabbis, the rabbi, in privately, Umanu, which rabbi did I ask? Rav. My pat abba. I said, what does it mean when it says in the Braita that Beit Hillel allowed to make pat abba on Pesach? So he said, you know what it means? Pat meruba. It's not talking about the thickness of the matzah. It means you're allowed to bake a lot on Yom Tov, which means Beit Hillel is not worried about tirha. He allows you to bake many, quantitatively, many matzot on Yom Tov. So the Gemara Ika de Amri Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amarav She'elit et Rabbi Biyehud. Similar thing. I asked Rabbi Biyehud Umanu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So he asked Rabbeinu HaKadosh, my Pat Abba. What does it mean when it says you could bake Pat Abba on Pesach? He told him Pat Miruba. It means quantitatively you're allowed to bake a lot. V'amai karole Pat Abba. Why do you call it Pat Abba? It's not Abba. It's not thick. So he says, yes it is. Mishum dinefisha belisha. When you're making a lot of matzah, in the kneading, It's a thick kneading. Right? Because when you're making a lot, it's pat abba. Which part of the pat is abba? The dough. So that's why they call it pat abba, because the dough is thick. Iname, batre, da'i tana, pat meruba, pat abba karo. What do you want? In that place where the tana taught the braita, in his place, the way you say meruba, meaning quantitatively a lot, you say it abba. So therefore it's semantics. He calls meruba abba. So the Gemara says, wait, mechti. Mishum de katarah tirha de lo tzarichu. The whole reason why Bet Shammai is saying it's asur, why doesn't he allow you to make so much on Pesach? Is because of, on Yom Tov, because of Tirha Yitira. He doesn't want you to toil too much. My iriya Pesach, I feel b'shar yamim tovim nameh. Why did the Brayta then say only Pesach? The Chaura, according to this reason, it should be asur to bake excessive bread on Shavuot as well, on Yom Tov, and Sukkot as well. It's not only a Pesach item anymore. Which is, till now we thought it was a matzah item, the thickness and all that. No, now it's not a matzah item anymore. Now it's a quantitative item, it's an Yerav Tirah. So if it's an Yerav Tirah, it's an Yerav Pesach, Shavuot, or Sukkot. Why don't you just pick Pesach? You're right. V'etana b'yom tov de Pesach ka'er. The Tana that quoted that Braita, he was already learning the subject of Pesach. So when he quoted that Braita, he said, the Pesach, Bo Adin on Sukkot, and Bo Adin on Shavuot. Tanya na Me'achem, the Braita to support this, Bet Shammai Omrim, En Ofin Pat Meruba Be'yom Tov. See, clearly, Pat Meruba on Yom Tov, or Betelel Matirim. Betelel says, Mutar. And what's the logic of Bet Hillel? The logic of Bet Hillel is like this. But remember, we learned on the previous daf that when the oven is filled with bread, so the bread comes out better. So in the olden days, they used to fill the oven with bread. Now it's hot, and they have the bread on the sides of the oven itself, and when they bake the bread inside, so that bread comes out better. So as long as you're enhancing your bread, even though you have to bake more, it'll be permissible. Okay, now it comes to the next Mishnah. Afu amar shelosha devarim nakel. Okay, Rabban Gamliel was not only Mahmir, he said things nakel. The following three things he said, to the lenient side. Number one, mechabedin bet hametot. Bet hametot is where they used to eat. They used to call it Bet HaMitot because they used to sit on lounges, like on couches, and they used to recline. Those customs in the olden days, right? Now, after they used to eat, there was food on the floor, whatever it was. So Rabban Gamliel allowed them to sweep. Why do you allow them to sweep? What's the shiloh? Why can't you sweep? So you have to remember, in the olden days, the grounds were made out of dirt. And therefore, when you're going to sweep, it's esbuye gumot, zboneh, which means you're filling the holes up with dirt. But Rabban Gamliel, like we'll see in the Shita, he was going to be mekel. Obviously, he held that it's not going to be a... First of all, you're not mitkavin. It's not mitkavin. You don't have a kavanah to go esbuye gumot. You just want to get rid of the thing. And you have to say, it's not a psik nesheh. You have to say that it's not going to happen. Inevitably, you're going to make Ashbu Yegumot. Therefore, Rabban Gamliel was mekel to sweep between the couches on Yom Tov. Okay? Next case. Umanichim et ha-mugmar b'yom tov. What is mugmar? In the olden days, after they used to finish eating, they used to take like a shovel of coals and they used to put some spices on top of the coals, and it would give a smell. And they used to smell it, it was to open up the digestion, whatever it did for them. This was the custom that they used to call mugmar. So the Hiddush is over here, quoted Rabban Gamliel, really only Oche Nefesh is mutar. So he holds over here that Oche Nefesh, a davar that shaveh lechol nefesh. Since everybody over here has a hana'a from this over here, it's like eating. Just like eating is permissible, so this smoke mugmar also is considered hana'a shaveh lechol nefesh, therefore he was mekir. Ve'osin gedi mikulas pelele pesachim. What is gedi mikulas? We learned the Masechet Pesachim. It means an armored Korban Pesach. What they used to do? This was after the Beit HaMikdash. There's no Beit HaMikdash. They used to take a goat, and they used to roast it. But how did they used to roast? They used to take the innards of the animal, and they used to put it on the side, roast it on the side of it. Just like a person going to war, his ammunition is on his side. So therefore they would call it a gedi mikulas, because it looked like a soldier going out to war with his ammunition on his side. The Hadush of Rabban Gamliel was, he wasn't osir, because the Hachamim said this is asur. In all three cases, v'achamim, osrim. Why the Chemi Moser? Let's go one case at a time. The Mugmar is a Sukkos. I'm sorry. The Kibud HaBayit, they say, why? Ashvuyeh Gumot. They say, and it's a problem because it's going to come to fill in the holes. The second thing, why the Mugmar is a Sukkos, because they say it's not Shaveh Lecho Nefesh. It's not a pleasure that's... it's only for istinis. It's only for a guy that's a finicky guy. He needs to have the Mugmar. But a regular guy doesn't need it. And the third thing is the Gdimi Kulas. It looks like Kurban Pesach. And there were people going to think, hey, the guy's bringing Kuchim Bahos, the guy's bringing Kurban Pesach. And it's not the Bet HaMikdash anymore. Therefore, all these three cases over there, the Chamim are Ose. Okay. Okay. So the Tosfot Yom Tov explains in the Mishnayot, he says, even though it's not a psikre sheba, that's for Yegumot, but Hachamim will say it anyway, because it's karov levadai that it's going to happen. It's not inevitable, but it's close to inevitable. So close is enough in order to be Osir. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Aseh. Rav Aseh says, Mahaloket legamir. We're discussing now the subject of the Mugmar. Now, there was two types of Mugmar. One Mugmar was Lahariyah. That's the Mugmar we talked about till now. They used to, after the Saudah, they used to put the spices on the coals, they used to inhale it. That was, a smell. That was Hana'ah for them. There's another type of Mugmar they used to do for Begadim. Person had clothes, they had a bad smell to them. They wanted to give a fragrance to their smell. What would they do? They would hang up the clothes, and underneath the clothes, they would put this incense over here, and the smoke would go up into the Begadim, and this would give it a good fragrance. So now, Rav Aseh says, Mahaloket legamir. The whole mahaloket in this Mishnah between the Bangam and the Hakamim with the Mugmar, that's only the Begadim. Which means the Hakamim are only Osir, because Begadim, you Murid Rehabi Yom Tov, you're making a Reyah into a. That's not considered Shaveh Lecho Nefesh, that's not considered a. Anat Mimisubal Abal, Le'ariyah, Devra Kol Mutar. Also, Rabbi Aseh says, but to make the Mugmar for smelling, even the Hakamim will say it's Mutad. Only Mahalokah is by the Begadim, but not by the Hariyah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We have a question. In Mechabedin Beit HaMitot, Be Yom Tov. Right? We said that you're not allowed to sweep Beit HaMitot, the place where they sat and ate on Yom Tov. Veshel Beit Naban Gamaliel Mechabedin. But in Aban Gamaliel's house, they did it. Amar Bili Ezer Bar Sadok. Pa'amim Arben Echnasti Ahar Abba Lebet Rabban Gamliel. Many times I followed my father, and I went to the house of Rabban Gamliel. Ve'lo ayu mechabedim bet hamitot biyom tov. And they didn't sweep bet hamitot on yom tov. What did they do? Ela mechabedin otam me'erev yom tov. They would sweep the room me'erev yom tov. Uforsin alehem sadinim. And then they would put sheets on the floor. So now, what happened to all the dirt? All the dirt would go on the sheets. Lemachar kishorchem nechnasim. When the guests would come in, what would they do? Misalekin et sadinim. They would just take out the sadinim. Vinimsa bayit metkabed me'elav. And the house, the room would become clean and sweeped by itself. Which means that they didn't sweep. They had this, they put the covers on the floor over there. So Amru Lot, so they told them, Imken, after Shabbat mutar la'asotkin. So what are you talking about? This is what they did. If this is what they did, so even Shabbat is mutar to do such a thing. Therefore, you don't know what you're talking about. Therefore, really on Yom Tov, they sweeped actually. You can't tell me that they put these sheets on the floor. So how come they only said the Yom Tov is mutar? If it's sheets on the floor, you can do that even on Shabbat. So therefore, it must be the sweeping was mamash sweeping. Continue. Ve'en manihin et ha-mugmar b'yom tov. Right? It says, and they, you're not allowed to put mugmar on Yom Tov. V'shel bet Rabban Gamliel manihim. But in Rabban Gamliel's house, they would put the mugmar on Yom Tov. V'amar Rabbi Eliezer bat Sadok. Same story. Pe'amim erbe nechnasti achar Abba. Many times about my father, lebet Rabban Gamliel. Ve'lo ayu manihim et ha-mugmar b'yom tov. They would not put the mugmar on Yom Tov. Ela mivim ardiskaot shel barzel. What's ardiskaot shel barzel? So these are like hollowed tubes that they would bring. Yeah, some type of hollowed metal tube. Shel barzel. Ume'ashenin ota me'erev yom tov. And they would start the smoking process me'erev yom tov. Then what they do? Upokikim nikbehem me'erev yom tov. And they would plug it. So now the smoke is in the tube. Now what would happen on Yom Tov? Nemahar. The next day, kishaorchim nikhnasim, when the guests would come, potchim et nikbehem. They would unclog, they would uncork the pipes. Vinimsa habayit mitkamer me'elav. And now the room would get smoked by itself. This is what I saw in the Ben Gamliel's house. So they tell him, Amru lo imken af b'Shabbat mutar la'asot kin. What are you talking about? On Shabbat is mutar to do such a thing. What kind of testimony is this? Which is why they say only mutar on Yom Tov. The Kaurav, if you're just plugging it up from before Yom Tov, and you're just unplugging it on Yom Tov, you can even do that on Shabbat. But wait, what do you see from this braita? The whole discussion is over here, the smell. Not talking about begadim. We're talking about it making mukbar to smell. So we're back to the question. You Rav Aseh, you just said mahaloket legamir, mahaloket legamir for the clothes. Aval lariyah bevrakol mutar. What are you talking? From this brayta, you see the only discussion was lariyah, and still the hakamim said asur. All right, and therefore Rav Aseh, you're learning the mahaloket incorrectly. So comes the Gemara and says, "Elai itmar, haki itmar." If you want to learn the mahloket, say it like this: Amar Rav Aseh says, "Mahloket lehariyah." That's the mahloket. Dafka lehariyah. Which Hakamim will say it's asur because it's not hana ashavel lechol nefesh. And Rabbi Gemara Gamliel will say mutar because it's the way it's an alchol nefesh. But the gamer asur. But the gamer for the begadim that's going to be asur. Look at Rashi: Mahloket lehariyah. Hatam udeshar ben Gamliel laniach biyom tov kedei lariach ketana kamadre b'Eliezer bat Tzadok v'Rabbanan asid b'anin davar ha'shaveh l'chol nefesh. Exactly, like we said. Comes the Gemara and says, Ibayilu. Ma hu le'ashin. What's the question? In the olden days, they used to take fruit and they used to smoke them in order to give the fruit a good sweet taste. Same thing, they used to make the smoke, put the fruit over it, like whatever it is, and give it a ta'am. So the question is, are you allowed to make this ishun process on the fruits on Yom Tov? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Aseh, I'm sorry, Eba'idu ma'uli ashen Rav Yirmiyah, but Abba Amar Rav Asur. He said Asur, as she says, the tefnok yeterahu. This is already people who are very finicky do this over here. This is only for an istenis. This is only for like a meticulous guy, a finicky guy. He needs to eat his fruit like that. What would they do? That coals. The coals were burnt. There was fire. They would take these spices and drop it on the coals. What would happen to the coals when they put the spice? It would blow out. When the coals would go out, they would create smoke. So therefore, the isud is what? Mechabeh. Now, if you're telling me it's hanash shaveh lechol nefesh, okay, so kibu would be mutar. That's considered lechol nefesh. But in this case over here, how many people are smoking their fruits? This is already a pinuk. This is already a tefnuk, like Rashid says. Therefore, he's osir. Usmoel amar mutar. Shmuel says no. Mutar. She says lechol nefeshu. Veraui af la'anim. Anybody can eat. There doesn't have to be a finicky guy or a rich guy. The anim can do the same process also. So why don't they do it? They don't do it because they just don't have the equipment. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says the logic now. Ravuna amar asur mipene shemechabeh. Ravuna says the reason why it's asur because of kibui. So amar Rav Nachman v'neim amor mipene shemevair. What do you think? Why don't you start from the beginning? The process over here, you're being mafid, you're lighting the coals, the spices. Oh, you're lighting the spices. So amale tehilato mechabeh v'sofo mafid. I'm giving you the order. The order is first they put the spices on the coals. What happens first? Before the spices start to ignite, the coals go out. After the coals go out, you have mechabeh. Then the spices start to be mafid. They start to ignite, they start to burn. So therefore, so when I give you mechabe, I'm giving you the order. Mechabe and then mevri. Look at Rashi, the bottom line. Venem amor. Venem amor mepeneshe mevriir. Habesamim, shegam zeab melacha. Amar le techilato mechabe. Vesofo mevriir. Vetarvayu avi beveana kama kama nakte. I'm just giving you the order. First is mechabe and then there is mevriir. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.